Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness and wellness, and life. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, stylish school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, Basic Training, MedX in Scottsdale, Arizona, and UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader. We're going to focus on the diabetes nightmare. Saving limbs, preventing amputations. Dr. Lawrence Rubin, podiatric physician. He's the founder of the LEAP Alliance, the Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention Alliance, for over 10 years, advocating doctors collaborating and foot screenings, trying to prevent what, believe it or not, is 80% preventable amputations related to diabetes. He returns, and then Janice Baker, she's a registered dietitian. She's a certified diabetes educator. She's also helpful in the LEAP Alliance. Will be joining me. Then the sports doctor's in with upcoming guests and topics, Dr. Bob Wisdom. Dr. Lawrence Rubin, welcome back to the sports doctor.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bob. And please give me a moment to say, or to give you some kudos. You can get all the kudos that I can create, because we've known each other a long, long time. And I've watched you for a long, long time. And can I say, at my age, I can say this, I'm proud of you. You are doing such a wonderful job in your sports medicine. You go so far into sports medicine and fitness that everybody benefits. So thank you for that. And thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome, Doctor. By the way, everybody, Dr. Lawrence was one of my original podiatry school professors, and I actually visited his office to find out about these hard plastic orthotics. But at the same time, Dr. Lawrence taking this on for over 10 years, this whole battle and prevention of lower extremity amputations, 80% of which are preventable. Podiatry many times has been the first doctor who ever sees somebody who might be diabetic. Their feet are numb, their feet are burning. I had a guy walk in one day, Dr. Larry, with a nail in his foot. He didn't know it. One of the first professions to see and suspect diabetes. And the idea of all of these preventable. So give us some background on yourself and this whole tremendous interest in the LEAP Alliance.
Well, thank you. And you know that sometimes going way back, I begin talking and it becomes more of a lecture than it does part of a wonderful opportunity to just give some information as precise as we can. What I'd like to say is this, that back in 2010, the LEAP Alliance was launched. Myself and my wife launched it. We were co-founders, and she's still working very hard with me to help this non-501c3 non-for-profit do its job. And the job that we have is dealing with something that you alluded to. Every 3 minutes and 30 seconds, somebody in the United States loses their legs. That's not a good thing. We don't like to see that, especially, again, what you already have said. I think 80% of these problems that lead to the amputation are preventable. And those
That's what's shocking. That's what's shocking. And if we're talking, again, about what might start as a foot ulcer, might start as some other kind of problem that's picked up by the optometrist with a change in the eyes. But the idea that along with these later in life amputation nightmares, we have type 2 juvenile diabetes,
which we had to change the name because so many children. I've talked about childhood obesity and these kinds of problems, and many of the diabetes related to obesity for like three decades. And the attention to we can't afford the diabetes scourge in the United States, Dr. Larry. It'll break us. It is so prevalent with the pre-diabetes, and again, the end game that you've decided to also, you know, try to prevent is so expensive, to say the least, physically and mentally.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and the part of this that becomes difficult is to delve into the fact that every 80% of the amputations are preventable, and we're not preventing them. And we have to address the fact.
Well, the fact that you want to put together teams of doctors, these were always your ideas, this collaboration. Again, podiatrist, the primary care doctor, maybe the pediatrician, definitely a vascular man if needed in some way, shape, or form. And you did, I won't say you invented foot screenings, the title, but this was a big deal, an idea, again, these foot screenings to be able to test and try to pick this up early could be game-changing. But again, sometimes when you're trying to change the game, whether it's in the schools or the bureaucracy or in the healthcare system, the term is good luck to you.
Well, everybody can use a little bit of good luck. But the fact of the matter that the LEAP Alliance exists to get right down into the community where you have to go if you want to save limbs and lives, the place to do it is where their patients are. So we go right down into the community, and we form networks around the two essential players in preventing the first amputation, because there are often several, and even the first ulcer from ever appearing. We go into an area, find a hospital there that's cooperative, work with its staff, start with a podiatrist, then also with a primary care physician, put them together, and work out a screening program for the community.
Yeah, the screening program could be at the doctor's office. It could be at the school. I've done screening programs at the running shoe stores. I did them. I had like five different running shoe stores: New Balance and Dick Pond, the great Dick Pond shoes. So these screenings could be anywhere. And the idea, I mean, we've got screenings going on in Nigeria with Kalu. What's her last name? She's a physiotherapist, and you work with the Lions. The Lions Club pays a big attention to children's fitness and adult fitness. So getting these communities together, has been a challenge all along. How has the healthcare system, and I know you've paid a lot of attention between the insurance companies, how has all of that come together to allow this to be a smart move for any of these podiatry or doctor groups?
Well, unfortunately, there's a dark side to this.
Yes.
It's not coming together easily. And unless we recognize the dark side, it will never come to fruition. Yes, the LEAP Alliance and some other organizations, tremendous amount of learning to the public.
Oh, yes.
Given.
One of matter however, fact, I just, however, just saw today, no I just saw today on Facebook one of your board people, advisors, the great Dr. Dave Armstrong, I think he was getting an award in Italy a couple of years ago. As far as, you know, that whole podiatry profession attention to the diabetic challenges, including these, and you're absolutely right. And this is what's ironic, Dr. Larry, whether it's sports medicine or youth sports, or again, it's the diabetes scourge, it's these situations. Many times when I talk to people, how are we doing psychologically, mentally, in the fitness areas, and we're treading water. Obesity is a big problem. This is why the nutrition side of things is so important. So is the exercise. And you know that you saw my latest, it's the new medicine. You got to eat smarter, you got to keep moving, and you got to try to reduce stress. And these are a big part of the explosion of diabetes in our society. So education's a big deal, and this is why I've been pounding away at it 30-something years. How are you doing, Dr. Larry?
Well, I would say this.
How's it going, man?
Education is doing what is wonderful, but
awareness
is neat.
Remember I told you the three words?
Awareness is wonderful, Dr.
Yes.
Bob. However, without action, it's useless.
That's the third part.
We have educated
it,
people. The Leap Alliance and other organizations have educated the public, have educated podiatrists, have educated primary care physicians, and yet amputations are still occurring because...
So's diabetes. This is my point. I got news for you. Not only the amputations, but the diabetes.
The big difference is, Dr. Bob, the big difference is there are solutions. And the Leap Alliance provides one solution. I think we believe we're the only organization that creates awareness and then goes right down into the community and acts on that, saves limbs, saves lives. We're now really working on some interesting things. How about the Make America Well Again program? I think everybody's heard about that. Regardless of your politics, I think it's a good thing to go ahead and look at chronic disease. And that Make America Well Again program.
Yeah. Make America Well Again.
And our motto, Dr. Bob, our motto is Make America Well Again, starting at the feet.
I agree. It starts from the bottom. 1992, I was part of the president's program with the late, great Bob Guida, the Chicago Bears, all about Dr. George H.W. Bush and Dr. Clinton's exercise programs. I can't believe it's all those years ago. Now, it's great to see it coming back. We need this attention to overall wellness. Again, there is an explosion of diabetes and all of its nightmares. Again, whether it is dealing with balance problems, dealing with other kinds of problems, let alone amputations, lifelong dealing, and now the youth population facing this. And this is why we're beginning to be paying a big attention with LEAP to the juvenile type 2 diabetes side. Again, the educational area. And like Dr. Larry says, again, it's the main word, because on the Sports Doctor, we have three words. One's awareness of what we're talking about. Two, the education of what we're talking about. And Dr. Larry, number three, it's the action. And I agree with you. This is why the foot screenings make so much sense in so many different ways, and getting the word out. But heck, you're already in Nigeria. Where else are you?
Well, we like to be everywhere. We work with, as you mentioned, we work with Lions Club International, 1.4 million members.
Well, we'll get them in England, Larry. The show next week will be on UK Health Radio.
And so we can really take a program anywhere in the world. Just like you mentioned, Carla, wonderful person, doing a wonderful job in Nigeria with Alliance Clubs there. And she's actually forming Alliance Clubs here in the USA as well.
So how long has the Lions Club been around, Dr. Larry?
It seems
forever.
It's been a long, long time, older than... I can't give you an exact time.
No, but like in community, all of these different clubs, and it's great to see their attention. And we're going to get the CEO, by the way, of the Lions Club on the Sports Doctor sometime in the future, everybody. We will get a chance to really compare notes. Again, the Sports Doctors, again, all about the world of youth fitness in all its challenges, like Larry's saying. Mm-hmm. 5 days ago, a type 1 diabetic, the great Russian tennis player Zverev, had to stop his match at the Cincinnati Open. The whole world of type 1 diabetics, which are many times, again, born with these situations. Type 2, we develop it. We allow it. And these are the things we need because, again, the end game is horrific when we're talking about, I can't get over a percentage that Dr. Larry first gave me when I knew what he was doing when he said 80% of these diabetes-related amputations. And how often are these amputations done? I mean, it's like thousands.
Well, I think that there are some statistics that every 3 minutes in the USA a limb as being amputated.
Wow. That limb ain't amputated, by the way, everybody. Almost always that limb is not amputated unless it starts with foot concerns. This is why podiatry is such a big deal. Even to redistribute weight in a shoe, there are diabetic shoes. And Dr. Larry also is paying big attention to the healthcare situation side of being able to help these groups get together in being collaborative with the, you know, with the healthcare world. It's got to be a challenge and a half, Dr. Larry.
Well, it is a challenge. And if you let, I would like to just give
quickly
1 minute. Yes,
I will quickly say what really is very meaningful to me, to the Leap Alliance, and it should be for all of us. There are patients out there, diabetic patients.
Yes, Larry, give us the website.
Give
me the website of people to find out about you and your work quickly.
Yeah, I will just say very
quickly.
Got
it now. Need it now.
The website is www.leapalliance.org.
Yeah, and leapalliance.org. Hold on, Dr. Larry. We'll be right back. The Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking to all areas of diabetes. I want to welcome Janice Baker. She's a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator. She's also helpful and will be helpful with the whole Leap Alliance move forward. Janice, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you.
You know, again, we're talking world-class athletes or grandmothers or children. The scourge of diabetes is almost overwhelming in the United States. People are, let alone the amputation side that we were talking about with Dr. Larry, the nutritional side is gigantic, to say the least. So if you would, give us some background on yourself and the diabetes education world.
Okay, happy to do that. Well, I have been working in the diabetes area since 1982 as a registered dietitian, diabetes care and education specialist, also nutrition support. And so I've worked in the hospital setting, medical, surgical, critical care, cardiac rehab, as well as outpatient primary care, home health, wound care, and I have a private practice as well. So in those four decades, I have seen a lot. And yes, while we have great tools and technologies and therapies for diabetes, it's
good luck
still
to you.
A big struggle.
Yeah. Good luck
still
to you.
Struggle.
Yeah. This is in the world, for example, of childhood obesity. For over 30 years, I've been ranting and railing with people from all over the world, including big attention to nutrition. And that's why in my new medicine trilogy, I just say number one is eat smarter. I'll leave it up to you to figure out how to. And number two is to keep moving. And again, you got 100 choices. So you've seen it all. You've seen,
I've seen a lot.
I think
there's more to see. I'm still very busy in my career when a lot of people my age are retiring. So I see a lot, and every day there's something new.
And again, the idea that the commonality of diabetes and pre-diabetes is almost half our population, everybody.
Yes.
This is a big deal, whether it's a dollar and cents deal. Again, you've been in cardiac care, you've been in critical care, you've seen this. This could break us if we don't put a stop to this craziness. And starting with obesity and everything else that taps into it, to the point that we, like I told Dr. Rubin, we had to change the name of adult onset diabetes because half of them were kids or developing these kinds of problems. Now, I'm very proud of the attention that has been paid in many ways. Again, the profession of podiatry being one of the first areas to see these wounds or these concerns where people maybe don't even realize they're diabetic, to the idea of trying to do something about it. Again, this type 2 juvenile diabetes explosion and the necessity of including you and me. Number one, it's got to include this whole world of nutrition and big time the world of exercise and its related area. And again, good luck to us as we see the reality when I talk to all these experts and every one of them roll their eyes, even though we're on the radio. When I ask them how we're doing, but talk about again, being a diabetes educator, where you've seen what it was like decades ago to get these points across, to today where there's a lot of, we understand. How do you see some of the changes, whether it's in the schools or in the communities or in the healthcare world, good luck to us, how you see we should be paying attention, what's in the world of nutrition?
Yeah. funny you should ask. I just got off planning another podcast all about this topic. And the big things I'm seeing, first of all, is we need to pay attention to the basics. It's really the basics we need to look at. First of all, I'm a big proponent of sleep, quality and quantity. Because what I see is there's a lot of issues with sleep from early ages because of screens, of pressure and stress. Sleep issues are one of the causes of a lot of metabolic issues.
Oh, yeah, the stress meter is times 100 between the pandemic and social media.
Yeah.
These two things, the psychiatrists and psychologists and others that I deal with all the time, I'm a sports doctor, make such a big deal out of that third part of the new medicine, which is reducing stress or paying a big attention to the kinds of mental pressures. Mental health is the biggest topic in the world, I think. Give or take
it's a very big health, big. It's a very big deal. And I also have worked and do work a lot in the field of eating disorders and disordered eating, which are twice as prevalent in the diabetes world. And this happens for many reasons. The mental health part is incredibly important. But as I was mentioning, sleep is sleep quality and quantity, regularity, consistency is a very big impact factor on blood sugar, blood pressure, appetite regulation, overall diet. So this is something not very sexy, but very important.
Oh, it's becoming sexy, though, because on TV, if every other commercial isn't about drugs, it includes sleep problem remedies, et cetera. And then if it's not that, it's diet. Again, you know, this constant barrage. Like you said, we need to pay attention to the basics. One of the challenges is the basics weren't all that right. In a lot of ways, they weren't all that right, whether it's the three meals a day or so what is, you know, the idea. And we all know that's why I said eat smarter. If you can't include the fact that we all need more fruit and vegetables and more education, I don't know where you're hiding. But the problem, again, like you said, is it's so much mental and some because the pressure is so dramatic. Again, in eating disorders, I see it in the young dancers or figure skaters. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you didn't lose that weight? You know, with these overzealous parents in that regard. So the how do you find, and I'm sure you see plenty of it related in some instances to the sporting world, because you got diabetics in so many ways, type 1 and 2, absolutely, who are trying to stay active, trying to play even serious sports.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, with the technology we have these days, with the pump CGM systems, you know, that is so helpful in keeping people with diabetes safer if they require insulin, because of they used to be just scared to do any sports if they were on, you know, insulin that they never knew when it was going to peak, when they were going to have lows, you know, all those kind of things. So with the new technologies that keep people a lot safer, that makes a massive difference. But also, again, it's having them work with people like myself, diabetes educators, who can help them plan an individualized nutrition care plan and help them interpret with their CGMs, for the most part, their individual patterns. Because, again, everyone's needs are different. You can say,
oh, yes, we had a great example of that a week ago with the Cincinnati Open in tennis, where one of the best players in the world, type 1 diabetic, the Russian player Zverev, had to retire early because he was overwhelmed by some of these heat-related symptoms he might have been getting. But one of my questions to you as an educator, again, with all your experience, why is there so many pre-diabetics?
Okay.
They are everywhere, right, at every age group. And again, it's just like, wow, where are we falling short with all these pre-diabetics?
Well, first of all, you know, we used to not even have that term when I first started in practice.
They all got to see
dietitians. We didn't even have A1C testing. And I have to say, there's at least 42 different factors that can impact your blood sugar. So prediabetes can reflect a lot of things like stress, like infection, like other medications you may be on, genetics of insulin resistance, oral health is a very big impact factor of blood sugar, hydration, 42 different factors, alcohol, other things. And so prediabetes is something where we need to expand out what I see.
How early are you seeing
the wide-angle lens?
In general, how early are you seeing these adolescents or the pre-diabetic or the type 2 juvenile? What ages are we talking about in general here?
You know, puberty and adolescence for hormones and all kinds of things.
Did you see that? Did you see that decades ago? You didn't.
No, because we didn't even have these tests. We weren't even testing for it. But life was different. There were no smartphones. There was no social media. Kids were doing things differently. Like when I was growing up, we were outside all the time.
No fast food.
No, there was fast food. I grew up with plenty of fast food. But we were outside all the time. There was no phones or things like that. We were always outside.
This is the exercise.
If you look at the old way teens were doing stuff, we went to dances. And, you know, again, life was very different. And that is cumulative, you know.
Yes. Well, this is why we like on the Sports Doctor the term in the new medicine, I like keep moving. That allows you to choose. You could go to the gym. You could be a runner. You could enjoy walking. You could do yoga. You can do Pilates. But the point is again, doesn't mean you're on a team in school. It means that you understand the necessity, if we're going to get a handle on this, on the juvenile type 2 world and trying to get ahead of this pre-diabetic nightmare with these kids, is to get them very, very involved very early. The fact that it's fun to choose what you like, to participate. We're going to talk more about that with diabetes educator Janice Baker and the world of the dietitian nutrition differences. It's the Sports Doctor, everybody. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. We're talking with Janice Baker, diabetes educator, a certified dietitian. You know, I was a registered dietitian. I wanted to ask you, we hear the term nutritionist all the time, and then we hear the term dietitian, and I know there's a difference. What is it, if any?
Well, your poodle can be a nutritionist. You know that, right?
No, I didn't.
It's not a legal term. Registered dietitian to earn that credential requires a minimum at this point of master's
degree.
But
I can't tell you how common it is to hear that misconception. I'm going to a nutritionist. I have a nutritionist on my team.
Yeah.
We were talking with a 12-year-old world-class figure skater, which is my world, with these young skaters that we were, again, these kids who specialize very early. It could be tennis, could be soccer, who are getting very, very serious. And then you get all those family dynamics. When diabetes mm-hmm. is mixed into the mix, into a family dynamic, it changes everything, doesn't it?
Well, it's changed my life because I grew up with it.
Aha.
Firsthand. So all of my relatives, including my father and his siblings and my grandparents, all had type 2 diabetes, and they all passed away from diabetes complications at an age younger than I am at now, which I witnessed firsthand. And I think I just started learning about diabetes at age 7 because of all these things. I really didn't know what I was experiencing and witnessing, but it left a lasting impression that really gave me a lot of passion for what I do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, you know, again, in podiatry, the profession of podiatry has always been right smack in the middle of all things diabetes because what we mentioned before, which is many symptoms, both sides of the body, whether it's our eyes or our feet, we might be suspicious that someone might be dealing with diabetes before they ever know it because of symptoms in the feet, whether it's numbness or stinging loss of sensation.
Yes.
This is, again, the foot screening world. With Dr. Rubin and Leap, the idea of, again, doing these screenings, the earlier the better, routinely, especially if there's a history. How much of the heredity factor works in the world of diabetes?
Well, especially in type 2, it's a very big heredity factor. And, you know, again, what's kept us alive for a long time, you know, the thrifty genes, we often call it, the ability to store fat, to survive food shortages and famine, is how we survived throughout thousands of years. But then things like that work against us, you know, as our environment changed and our life changed. So genetic adaptations, you know, first of all, are, you know, just that's just what happens. You see this in other circumstances as well. However, again, the stresses of life, the culture, the stresses, the environmental things, access to health care, those are also part of
You inherit the lifestyle of your relatives. Again,
sometimes not.
Yes. Oh, that's an interesting point, again, where we talk about this, you know, like it used to be adult onset. In other words, the disease develops on somebody again, and the idea of how much nutrition pays a difference, how much activity or inactivity, again, the mental game, which is a huge topic on the sports doctor. Again, whether it's the best athlete in the world, whether it's their coach, whether it's the parents of a young kid who's very, very active, again, so from the financial strains to all of these considerations, sticking with your diet, sticking with the exercise program, or realizing I have to change my whole lifestyle because all of a sudden I'm dealing with the pre-diabetes. And I think, again, this is where we want the earlier the better to get the information out and to get these kids interested and their families interested in the importance of being active and the importance of nutrition to try to prevent the development of these problems. You're talking about seeing this very, very early. I guess it's one of these 3 to 103 challenges, right, Janice?
It is. And, you know, it's so fascinating and interesting. In fact, you know, when I first started college, I really, my first career, like, obsession, I wanted to be an anthropologist. Well, it turns out that's what I actually am, you know, studying human culture and human behavior. And that's what it is to be a diabetes educator and dietitian. And again, there's many things. There's culture. There's you know, what safety means to us to fit in. What it means to take care of ourselves is always individual and interpreted differently by different people.
And it always includes things very simple. Like, what's the best shoe for you or your children to wear? Especially if you're dealing with diabetes.
Yeah.
Yes. How important is the idea of strengthening lower extremities, including the orthotic therapy situation or proper shoes for fall prevention when we're dealing with seniors And that's even if a lot of them are not playing pickleball.
Well, I do not play pickleball, but I am a senior, and I'm obsessed with having the best shoes I can because fall prevention to me is critical because I've worked in hospital wards in orthopedics.
Well, I'm going to give you the gem now. Are you ready? Do you have your pencil out?
Yeah, yes. I worked with fractures.
Yeah. Here you go. Here are the two of the most important concepts to include, whatever your sport is, whatever your age, whatever your activity. Number one is include strengthening your feet and ankles.
Yes.
Work on strengthening your feet and ankles. And number two is work balance. Work on balance.
Yes.
My famous associates used to have every athlete they worked with and every senior balancing on mini tramps and doing tilt boards and working on the importance of balance for stability. And again, as we see an aging population, when you throw diabetes in, which affects everything, again, your blood pressure, your joints, your muscle action, your sight, and your eye situation, again, it's such a big deal. This is why they, let alone this shocker that Dr. Rubin shared with us, which was that 80% of the amputations, diabetes-related amputations every 3 minutes in the United States can be preventable if attention is paid. And I guess this is what you've been knocking yourself out with your diabetes education and nutrition your whole career, right, dear?
Yes, absolutely that. Because an amputation is just so related to, you know, mortality risk, and falls are sentinel events. We call those sentinel events.
Do you have a website, Jen?
Yes, another.
Do you have a website, or do you have a contact area where people could contact you about your work?
Yes, I have a Facebook page. I do not have a website, but my Facebook page is Baker Nutrition. And you can find me on the planet. Janice Baker, RDN, CGCS, CNSC, BCADM.
On LinkedIn, did you say?
LinkedIn?
Yes.
And my Facebook page,
yes,
Baker Nutrition.
Those are the two big. Those are the two biggest areas people find out about anything as it is anyway. And that's why it's so important be able to have some of this contact information, like you said, wherever the spectrum somebody might be involved in, where, again, that they were dealing with the senior population or the family dynamics, you know, as we get to this, the pressure side of dealing with the situation where you have a child in the family who is developing these kinds of problems, or you have parents or grandparents that are dealing with this. Even the idea of where to go to get information in order to be able to know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And again, your Facebook page, if they go to?
Yeah, Baker Nutrition.
Okay, and then we'll look forward to having you back on the show, Janice, as we go forward with this attention, you know, whether it's the 103-year-olds or the 3-year-olds and the people in between. The cooperation of the medical community, the cooperation of the schools and the park districts and all these different communities to try to make as big a dent as possible in this scourge of diabetes is all its areas. So we want to thank you so much for joining us. And
hold on,
Jen. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors In. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is the Sports Doctors in Segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix. We answer a few emails if we have time. We talk about the consulting group, some of the masterminds. We've got some great guests and topics coming up next week talking about the mental game. Back from New Zealand, Gerard Waters will be joining us. He's a Taoist. His specialty is the Tao, the incredible story over 2,500 years old of human behavior and all aspects of life, relationships, that the theories of the Tao, he'll be returning. And then we're going to jump right into some solid sports medicine with a longtime athletic trainer, numerous guests of ours in the past, Jimmy Spinelli, and one of the sports medicine soccer groups he's with down in Florida. I first met Jimmy with the work we were doing with sports performance volleyball, where he was dealing with these young superstars and his background, the Cardinals. Who knows what else, but his work with Bradenton, with EMG. So that's going to be a great show. The following week, we're going to get back into the sports hypnosis world with Dr. Rob Cabri. And that, again, that tremendous emphasis on this area in sports medicine in so many different directions. And then we're going to talk again about the diabetes world with Jody Velasquez. She's a mom who raised a daughter through the whole upbringing with type 1 and insulin dependent and all of that criteria, and that she'll be able to add to the mix. We just talked a lot about that with our two guests today, and that's one of the things I want to talk about a little bit more in the Dr. Bob segment, which is, again, this type 2 juvenile type 2 diabetes, sports medicine, attention we're going to be paying to this. The importance, again, of the keep moving side of dealing with juvenile diabetes. The importance of educating this younger population and their families about the importance of the physical side of dealing with and preventing this nightmare scourge of the type 2 diabetes. Like I mentioned in the show with both guests, the fact that the world of diabetes, which is, I don't know how much of our population between pre-diabetics and diabetics, and it is huge. It is so expensive, and dealing with diabetes could be a lifelong situation. It could be type 1 where the children are born with it and we're dealing with insulin dependent. Or it could be acquired. It used to be called adult-acquired diabetes. And then they started seeing so many kids and adolescents, they had to change the name. It's nuts. And the importance of exercise and trying to add to the sports podiatry side, where I've talked about the role of the foot and I've talked about all aspects dealing with diabetes makes everything worse. Whether it's your eye care, whether it's your brain function, whether it's your kidneys, whether it's your feet, in so many ways, and getting hit with this constancy of younger and younger starting is something that we're paying big attention to. You know, Dr. Rubin, he talked about, you know, the LEAP organization, lower extremity amputation prevention in diabetes, the prevalence of this. Diabetes related, which can start very, very early at different ages, like our second guest, Janice Baker, was talking about in adolescence or young adulthood or later on. So we want to pay attention to school systems and the families and the communities understand that exercise is very, very important. You don't have to be on a team. Most kids in school are not on teams. Elementary school, everybody plays. By the time you're in junior high and high school, it's one out of 50 who's doing anything. The rest of these kids are hanging around looking at their phones. This is why one of our great contributors, the group with FitRight and with Suzanne Gray and her attention to the screen watching and what it's done in all aspects of health. And she deals so much in the world of autism. So this whole, again, dealing with the younger population, trying to include education in that area is something that we really, really want to do. In that area, again, with the sports doctors in consulting, and people could reach us with at drryl, sportsdoctor@yahoo.com, the same email that they use to get an email that we might pay attention to. We're going to get one in here real quickly where we're paying attention to. I'm playing the quarterback as the sports doctor for sports parents and coaches or adult athletes. Dealing with a plan, dealing with what they're doing, whether it's their injuries, whether it's preventing injuries, whether you're the best athlete, parent, and you're dealing with, can we do something about these overuse injuries? Can we do something about it? I have a team around me of over 20 specialists in the world of dietitians, in the world of mental training, psychiatry, physical training, parenting, coaching, that we can relate to and have a couple of sessions with somebody in order to come up with this kind of plan for your son or daughter or yourself. If we have time, John says, your new article coming out hasn't come out yet, figure skating and orthotics. People know who listen to the sports doctor that I've been involved in the world of figure skating for like four decades. My thing I brag about all the time, of course, we just celebrated the 15th year of young Evan Lysacek, this 9.5-year-old kid. That I put orthotics in his skates. He was already very special then. 12 years later, he was the Olympic gold medalist. His coach, Candy Brown Burek, the different areas we worked with, in the mental training and the physical training with so many different specialists. And the idea, again, of these young kids who are specializing, but in particularly in figure skating, and the role orthotics have played, mostly in dealing with problems in the beginning and still today. My daughter's arches hurt, her knees hurt, her back hurts, her shin hurts. And that the role with orthotics being very, very helpful. For dietary, almost always the best area, but there are some specialists who deal with this and podiatrists, et cetera. Orthotics can be a tremendous step up in your son or daughter's skating ability. This is the exciting frontier we were dealing with. Everything about this skater, their balance, their speed, their explosive power, their stability improved with orthotics. There weren't problems. Improved. On that note, we'll see everybody next week. I want to thank our guests again, Dr. Rubin and Janice Baker. Catch everybody next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Looking forward to the U.S. Open Tennis. See ya.